So I want you to picture the scene. It's lunchtime. Kids, you might know this particularly well. It's lunchtime, you've got a plate of food in front of you, and you've eaten the bits you like, and then someone says to you, eat your vegetables, and then you can have ice cream. Okay, you've got to eat your vegetables, and then you can have ice cream. Has someone said that to you recently? I feel like I might have said that to someone this very lunchtime. Parents, have you said that recently to someone? What you're saying is do the kind of the not very enjoyable thing, the thing that you don't really want to do, but do that because then you get to have the really nice thing. Well, I've got a question for us. Is that how being a Christian works? Is that what that memory verse was just teaching us? You know, what you've got to do now is the not very nice stuff. Deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me, and then you'll get the good stuff later. Is it saying life is like that smelly cabbage? You know, you've got to just hold your nose and kind of force it down your throat, and then you'll get this amazing reward later, heaven, like the ice cream. Is that what Jesus is telling us to expect if we become followers of his? I wonder how you'd answer that question. I think yes and no. Yes, actually, Jesus does say part of being a Christian now is denying yourself, and that can be hard. Yes, Jesus does say the reward that's to come in heaven is going to be amazing. It's well worth denying yourself now. So in a sense, Jesus does say that, doesn't he? There's something you've got to do hard now as you follow me, but there's going to be amazing reward in heaven that makes it all worthwhile. But what was the last thing Jesus told us to do in that memory verse song? What was the last thing he told us to do? Do you remember? Avani, can you remember? What did Jesus tell us to do? He said, follow after me, didn't he? Follow after me. And we're going to be reminded today that because we're following someone as wonderful as Jesus, well, that means as well as forgiving us, as well as promising to give us this amazing reward in the future, he also says actually he wants to give us some really good things now, and he wants to help us on the way as we commit to following him. So we're going to pick up the story. The disciples in Mark's gospel, they have just watched Rich Nice Guy. Remember him from last week, adults? They've just watched Rich Nice Guy fail to follow Jesus. He chose to keep his riches now instead of get the amazing treasures in heaven. He just wasn't willing to deny himself. But then Peter pipes up as a spokesman for the disciples, and he says, we have left everything to follow you. Now we might think, hang on a second, disciples, because there's one thing we've been seeing about the disciples is that actually they've not been very good at putting themselves last. In lots of ways, they've not been very good at doing what Jesus has said. But what Peter says isn't entirely wrong, is it? Because can you remember earlier in the story? And Jesus was walking by a lake and he saw some men fishing and he shouted out to them, follow me. And what did they do? What did they do? They left everything, their boats, their nets, their father, the servants, and they immediately got up and followed Jesus. That was Peter. That was some of the disciples. And so actually we see here, it's a bit more complicated, isn't it? There is this sign that actually, even though they failed in some areas, God actually has been at work in them since that very first moment. God has been enabling them, stirring them up to do something that they wouldn't normally choose to do, not perfectly. You know, they still need Jesus' salvation for all the ways that they don't choose to do it. They still need Jesus' death on the cross, his love for them, as we've been singing about. But we do get this little glimpse here, as Jesus doesn't tell Peter he's wrong. We get this little glimpse here of the fact that God has already been in really kindly helping the disciples to start following after Jesus. What amazingly good news that is. Jesus calls us to follow him, and then actually he does start to help us do that. And we'll see more on that in a couple of weeks. But then we get the really good news of this particular passage. Because Jesus says, when we find ourselves having to give stuff up to follow Jesus, and all of us will have to do that in different ways, if we decide we really want to follow Jesus, we will have to give some stuff up. Jesus promises to give us some other stuff that is even better. I'm going to read again from verse 29. Truly I tell you, Jesus replied, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children and fields, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. Well, that sounds great, doesn't it? Although it does sound a bit weird. Were you thinking that? It sounds a bit weird. So what on earth does Jesus mean when he says we're going to have 100 mums? What does that mean? 100 mums? More houses than a pop star? More fields than Jeremy Clarkson? What Jesus is talking about here is the great blessing of church family. He's talking about the great blessing of church family. He's saying, look, actually, as you start following me, you'll get this huge new family. All of you following Jesus together. A family where we share the same wonderful values. Where we share the same confidence in knowing this King who decided to die to forgive us. And who's promised that he'll never stop loving us. That's what Jesus is talking about here. He's saying, actually, as you start following him, he's going to give you many, many, many more brothers and sisters to walk through life with. Older folk to act like mothers to you, you know, to care about you with that motherly concern. He's talking about, I think, in terms of all these homes, being welcomed into lots of different people's homes for fun times together and also for support when, you know, life is really hard and actually you need that safe space to go for refuge. And when he's talking about fields, well, I think he's talking about people's kind of business and their income, the sense that we all get to benefit from the generosity that exists within a church family. Church is the most extraordinary community. It's not normal. Kids, you've kind of grown up with this, right? If you're here and your parents are Christians, they've always taken you to church. You have grown up with this. But none of your friends at school or nursery have somewhere like this, where you know so many different people of all ages, from all different countries, all sorts of different stories about their life and what's happened to them before. Different people around our dinner table each week. That's not normal, but it is wonderful. Jesus is saying, this is this great blessing we get to have in the present. And it's not just limited to what we have here either. This is our kind of most obvious, immediate church family, Christian family. But actually, we have a family of people now who are following Jesus all around the world. Many of them will never meet. Most of them will never meet. But when we do randomly meet someone who's a follower of Jesus somewhere else, it can be wonderful, can't you? I know people in this room will have all sorts of stories to tell about randomly meeting someone who's a follower of Jesus and having a deep connection that this is not normal. Just two stories from me. One, we were in Portugal over Easter, and we were at this lovely little cafe by the sea. And there was a lovely, there was a big group, a family group, extended family, that were kind of on the table just near us. And we got back in our car, and Lucy and I both said to each other, I feel like I recognised that young woman. And we both thought, we feel like we recognised one of those people who was in that family group. And so we were kind of curious enough that Lucy got back out of the car and went over and kind of had that slightly awkward conversation of, do I know you? And it turned out, we didn't really know her, but we'd crossed over very briefly at Bible college. And she was a Christian woman. Not really know her, but Aunt Lucy kind of had a nice short conversation with her. I thought no more of it, but then I logged back into my email the first day back after holiday and found this message. Hi, Tim. I got your email address from the church website. I wasn't sure how else to contact you. I just wanted to get in touch to pass on thanks to your wife, Lucy, for coming and speaking to me in Portugal. It was a very small and random place to bump into someone, but God was definitely at work in it. You probably had no idea, unless you heard some of the conversation on our table. But I was having a really tough time, and being reminded that I have real Christian family out there actually made a huge difference. Isn't that great? I mean, we did nothing. We were just curious. Isn't that wonderful? There she was with her family. But she said, actually, there was something about meeting just another Christian out there. That's one story. And then a story of how we have been on the receiving end of being blessed by a Christian who we'd never met before. It was a time when one of our little ones was in hospital, very unwell. And we were staying in the hospital, and it was miles and miles from where we lived. And it was COVID time. And it was really hard on many, many levels. And then there was this Christian lady, and I can't even remember her name. Jo, she was called Jo. There was this Christian lady who lived nearby, and she found out that we were there kind of through a friend of her friends. And she basically set about providing us with the most incredible meals. So I used to go and meet her in the hospital car park. Remember, it's COVID times, and she wasn't allowed into the hospital, it's lockdown. And so I'd go out into the car park, and then she'd hand over these incredible home-cooked meals. And all sorts of extra kind of treats on the side. And we'd speak for like a minute, 2 minutes. But it would be so helpful. Because we just had this connection, and she'd assure us of her and her church's prayers for us. And we still remember that and talk about that. You know, that sort of stuff doesn't happen. You know, if someone did that for other reasons, that would be like front page news of the local newspaper, right? They'd get like an MBE or something. But amongst Christians, that's just what we do. It doesn't matter we didn't know each other. We're all following Jesus. We're all part of a massive family getting to enjoy wonderful blessings of each other in this broken world. Isn't Jesus wonderful? Yeah, if he just said to us, deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me, and you're going to have an amazing reward in heaven, that would be enough. That would be more than worth it. We get saved, we get to go to heaven. But how kind he is. He says, look, as you do that hard thing of having to deny yourself to follow me in this world, I'm going to give you so many other blessings to keep you going. You get to enjoy being part of this massive new family. Isn't Jesus a wonderful king to follow? So one question for all of us as we finish. Are you making the most of these amazing blessings that Jesus gives us right now? Are you making the most of it? You know, sometimes I meet followers of Jesus who are trying to do it all on their own. They're not really involved in a church. And so they're missing out, aren't they? Missing out on all the extra brothers and sisters and homes and fields, all the support on the journey. You know, how do you view this? Is it a place where you come when it fits and works with everything else going on in your busy life? Or is this a family that you prioritise being with each Sunday and then kind of during the week, formally or informally, whenever you can? Is this the family that keeps you going and puts a smile on your face? Jesus says it should be. If it's not, you're missing out on what he wants from us. You know, I think we've got space to grow in this. We've always got space to grow, haven't we? I think we've got space to grow in this. You know, let's realise what we've got here, this amazing gift from Jesus, an amazing reward in the present for choosing to follow him. And so shall we commit, all of us? Doesn't matter how old we are. Doesn't matter how long we've been a Christian. Doesn't matter how long we've been part of Grace Church. Shall we commit to each of us thinking of one thing, one step that we could take? Maybe it's just being here more regularly. Maybe it's being intentional about inviting people over into your home. Or as kids, you know, saying to your parents, like, we need to do that more. Why do we never have anyone from church in our house? Maybe it's, I don't know, whatever it is. But one step you could make to enjoy church family more. And as you do that, to be a blessing to all the other people who God has brought you together with. Shall I pray for us? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this amazing blessing, this amazing reward for following Jesus that we get to get right now in the present. Thank you for the great gift of church family. Thank you for each one of us here brought together. And we pray that you would help us to make the most of that as we keep on walking together towards heaven. Amen. We're going to sing again.